Amen. All right, let me preach. All right, it's great to be at Hiles Anderson College. I spent 15 years of my life here at this place as a student, a staff and faculty member. And thank you for all you staff and faculty that are still serving God here and ministering to the college students. Thank you, Brother Douglas, for providing leadership to the college. Brother Collins, you are an amazing combination between Brother Quozzo and Dr. Evans. Great song leading. I know Dr. Evans is proud of you. Amen. I love the way you lead the singing. And thanks for singing that song, "He Is Mine." Amen. I love that. Thank you for choosing to serve God with your life. Thank you for choosing this place. And I hope you'll hear me out today. I had the privilege of preaching on the Division 7 night bus Sunday night. Where's Gabe? Gabe, I'm kind of disappointed with you today. I mean, I just gave you a chance to, I said, Division 7, your lady workers are getting excited. Come on. Anyway, I had the privilege of preaching on the Division 7 night bus. All right, dude. And I was reminded as to why I'm glad I don't ride a night bus anymore. Amen. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. There's so many things I wish I could preach to you today. I wish I could inspire you. I wish I could motivate you. I wish I could rip you. Amen? Especially Brother Gabe. Well, I want to give you some instruction today. I hope you'll listen and pay attention, because one day you're going to need what I say today. I preached on a theme Sunday night on the night bus about stay in the fight. And tonight I'm going to keep with that subject. I'm going to preach a message called Embrace the Fight. Embrace the Fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. It says, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Verse number 5. "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you for using us. Thank you that we get to be co-laborers with Christ in this vineyard. Thank you that this place is here. Thank you for all those who labored to make it possible. Thank you for those that are here now. I pray that you'd work and through this sermon, through this message, and use me today to help these students. Amen. Life is a fight. We're in a struggle. We're in a contest. We're in a fight. I'm not talking about a boxing match. I'm talking about a life struggle. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the weight which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the" what? The race that is set before us. That word race is the same word fight. We're in a fight. We're in a race. We're in a struggle, amen, for God and with God. If you don't like fighting, then you won't be good at life. Better understand that, because a lot of people don't learn that. They don't get that. They're searching for some type of peace that don't exist. You can have peace in your heart with God, but let me tell you something, with man, with life, with the sources, with the principalities of darkness, there's always going to be a fight until you get to heaven, amen? If you don't like fighting, then you will not enjoy the Christian life. Fight is a battle, a contest, or a race. I want to give you six truths today concerning fighting. Number one, life is and always will be a fight or a struggle on this earth. We must fight to feed ourselves. We must fight to educate ourselves. We must fight to overcome handicaps. We must fight to protect ourselves. We must fight against the circumstances and the obstacles that come our way. Temptations will arise to arrest you and seduce you into sin. Stormy winds will blow contrary to the direction that you're rowing, and it's going to take a fight and a struggle to keep heading in the right direction. Enemies will provoke and assault you. God will test you to make you stronger. Life is a struggle. Life is a fight. Life is not, and it is not intended to be, a state of constant peace. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul clearly understood that he was in a fight. And the Bible says he so fought. That means he fought in such a way to obtain a prize. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. Amen. That's Paul's testimony at the end of his life. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. God is telling us about those in the hall of faith, those who have lived the life of faith, and they waxed valiant in fight. Life is supposed to be a struggle. We're to be soldiers in an army enduring hardness. We're to be marching to war, not searching for a non-existent state where everything is peaceful. Many waste their time constantly searching for the ideal situation where all is well and where all are equal and all see eye to eye in perfect harmony. Well, I'm telling you something, you're not going to find that place. You're not going to find that in your marriage. You're not going to find that in your child rearing. You're dead sure not going to find that in your ministry. You're going to have to learn to embrace the fight. I said, number one, life is and always will be a fight or a struggle on this earth. Number two, we either embrace that life is a fight or we fail. It is only through fighting that we can experience victory. Learn that fighting is fun. That's right. See, I say fight, you're thinking about arguments. You're thinking about not getting along with people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that if you're going to get along with people, you're going to have to struggle to do it. You're going to have to struggle against your carnal flesh. It's going to fight you every step of the way to be a good husband, to be a good father, to be a good Christian leader. It's a fight. It's a struggle. Everybody's in a fight, so you might as well embrace that life is a struggle. Don't waste your time believing anything else. People who don't embrace the reality that we have to struggle in this life are people who end up lazy, sad, unhappy, disillusioned, and lacking. Amen? You're going to fight, so you might as well enjoy it. The housewife fights against dust and dirt, especially if you live in Ghana. The mechanic fights against malfunction, wear and tear, especially if you're in Ghana. The farmer fights against bugs, disease, and drought. The doctor fights against infection and disease. The healthy fight against age and deterioration of the body. Life is a struggle. Is all fighting good? No. Are there fights to be avoided? Yes. But fighting is required to be victorious with God. Have the right attitude about fighting. In life, and especially in ministry, you will get to the point where you get tired of fighting. But if you give in or you give up, then you're bound to lose. Many a good man have gotten in the ministry and served God for many years and had fruitful ministries, and they said, you know what? I'm just tired of fighting. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired of the struggle. And they quit. They got disillusioned with what life is all about. Folks, God left us here to fight. He left us here to struggle. He left us here to finish our course. Number three, we must fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let me tell you something, eternal life. Yeah, God gives you eternal life. He gives you a place in heaven for free when you get saved. But I want to tell you something. What your life is going to be like in eternity is something you got to fight for. You got to lay hold on eternal life. You got to reach out into the future and lay hold on your rewards now. You get into heaven by grace, but let me tell you something. You get rewarded in heaven by struggling now. No fight, no reward. No run in the race, no reward. There are plenty of fights that are not worth fighting. There are plenty of endeavors that are not worthy of our struggle. We must compete in the race that God has set before us. And that is the work of bringing glory to God. And it is a fight. It is a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual war. Number four, fighting brings confidence. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. He's telling them, look, remember how you fought and take confidence from it. Remember how you endured. Remember how you fought and won. Someone said this, and I quote, when I hear my friends say they hope their children don't have to experience the hardships they went through, I don't agree. Those hardships made us what we are. You can be disadvantaged in many ways, and one way may be not having had to struggle. If you haven't had to struggle, then you have been disadvantaged. Amen? Number five, and this is where I want to get to today, and this is where really where my heart is. This is why I'm preaching the message. Number five is embrace the conflict. Embrace the conflict. It is only through embracing the conflict that we can experience victory. You don't want to fight. You don't want to compete. You don't get to win. And by the way, competing in a foot race, competing in a basketball game, competing in a preaching contest, none of that's worthy. That's for children. But competing in the spiritual fight for God, that's where the true victories are. And that's where we ought to be fighting. Way too much emphasis in this world is placed upon competing with other people. We'd be good to destroy all of our competitions with each other and get to fighting the devil, amen? Or not fighting the devil, fighting the flesh and fighting what comes our way. And anyway, I'm sorry, I'm getting off the subject. Let me get back to my sermon here. In your relationships, conflicts will arise. Do you understand that? Do you think you're going to get married and no conflicts ever come up? Do you think you're going to get in the ministry and no conflicts ever come up? No, conflicts are going to rise. And the greater things you do, the more you achieve, the greater the conflicts will be. And the more they will arise. And you must learn to embrace them. In the ministry, you will have many relationships and thus more conflict. If you're establishing more relationships and you're not having more conflicts, it's probably because you got shallow relationships. It's probably because you don't love people. It's probably because you're not trying to help anybody. It's probably because nobody trusts you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe you don't, but maybe you'll remember this sermon one day, and I don't know, maybe you can play it back and say, oh, I get it now. If you don't learn to embrace conflict, you will fail. You cannot run from the fight and win. You must face the problems. You must deal with the messes. When I was a student, guest preachers would come in here and they would say something like, if you think you're having it tough now, wait till you get out in the ministry. And I used to sit there and think, excuse me? Like, I don't know where you went to college, but I'm having it pretty tough right now. And I'm like, I didn't get what they were saying. I don't think a lot of them explained themselves very well. I now know what they're talking about. They're not talking about your schedule. They're talking about the responsibility. They're talking about all the relationships, all the conflict that comes your way. And when I was a college student, yeah, I had a tough schedule, the most difficult schedule I ever had. I got very little sleep, and that was dumb, by the way. It took me years to recover. I still have... I wake up going, having all kind of convulsions where I used to always try to keep myself awake when I was driving a bus or something. But I had a tough schedule when I was in college. But I didn't have a lot of responsibility. I didn't have a lot of conflicts, a lot of relationships that caused me the issues I have now in the ministry. If you want to succeed for God, then you must welcome dealing with broken marriages. You must welcome disgruntled staff members. You must welcome talking to offended church members. If you're serving God and doing anything for God worthwhile, you're going to have those things happen. People are going to come to you and they're going to have a broken marriage and they want you to help them. Right. And man, you can't have an attitude of like, oh man, I got to deal with this. No, you got to say, man, I get to deal with this. I get to enter into this spiritual battle and help this couple for God. I get to deal with a disgruntled staff member. Thank God they came to me. I'm going to embrace this. I'm not going to get angry because they're upset. I'm not going to judge them because they don't understand. I'm going to sit down and say, brother, we have a problem. Let's talk about it. Let's embrace the fight. You understand what I'm talking about now? Let's embrace the fact that there's conflict between us. If you run from that, you'll never be successful in your relationships. And most people I know run from relationship conflicts. They don't deal with them. They stay quiet. They separate. Their way of dealing with conflict is move somewhere else. Go somewhere else. Take a different position. Get divorced. But you've got to learn to embrace the conflict because those conflicts are opportunities for you to shine forth for Jesus Christ and to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen. Many quit ministry because they're tired of fighting. Many compromise because they're tired of conflict. But if you embrace the conflict, if you welcome the fight, it can become the opportunity that leads to great victories, great relationships, and great fellowship. One time, a few years ago, two men in my church came to me and they said, we want to talk to you. And I said, sure. And they said, we want to talk to you in your office about something. And so we went down, sat in my office, and one of the men, he's very gracious, he said, Pastor, he said, first of all, I want to tell you that the reason I'm in the church is because of your preaching. And I was thinking, okay, that's good, but there's something coming here. And then he proceeded to tell me, he basically explained to me that For Ghanaian people, they don't understand the beating on the pulpit. They don't understand that type of preaching. To them, it's saying to them, you're angry. And he was asking me, he was basically advising me that I need to change that style in order to connect with the people. I thank God that man that he embraced the conflict with his pastor. That he went and spoke up and said, Pastor, and I thank God that I had enough maturity and understanding to say, hey, yeah, let's talk. You can criticize me. We can work through this issue. I thank them. I changed my ways, and praise God. That's the kind of conflict I'm talking about. If you don't want to deal with conflict in life, who are you going to manage? Who are you going to lead? What are you going to achieve? Man, if you're going to achieve anything great in this life, it's going to be as a part of a team. It's going to be working with people. And if you can't deal with conflicts between people, you cannot be a victor, a winner for Jesus Christ. About a month ago, I had the darkest day of my ministry. I found out that seven of the men that we've trained and led, and some of them I married them, and they were friends, people that I know them well, and they rose up against me. They formed a little group. They formed a clique, and they decided that they were unhappy with this, and this, and that they would never meet with me individually again, and they now are a group, and if I'm not willing to meet with them and solve all their problems, that they're going to stop partnering with me. See, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, you know what the deal was? See, they've been listening to the devil. They've been listening to lies. And they got it in their mind that I'm raising money from America based on what they do, and I'm putting most of the money in my pocket, and they're just getting a little bit of it. And so they've risen up against me. And I'm going to tell you what, that hurt. It hurts. It hurts when the people you have loved the most, the people you have given your life to, rise up and call you crooked and call you a liar and turn on you. And I'm going to tell you something. They were demanding I meet with them. I told them, I said, look, I don't meet with y'all as a group. I don't have a relationship with the group. I meet with you as individuals. I was like, I ain't meeting with you. They showed up at the church as a group, presented a letter to me, to my secretary. The old flesh said, the Spirit of God said, Ted, if you don't embrace this conflict now, it's just going to get worse. I said, all right. So I went in there and I sat down with them. I received their letter. I talked to them for a few minutes. I realized it wasn't a good time. We dismissed that meeting for them. A few days later, I had a meeting with them. I called them back. I sat down with them. They had no Bible verse to back up anything they had said to me. I sat down, took the Bible, I addressed every issue they had. I lovingly taught every one of them. I praise God, six of those men have repented. Six of them, one of them was on his knees in my office a few days later asking forgiveness. Only one of them is still being stubborn. And we're going to keep working with those men. And we're going to keep loving those men. And we're going to keep partnering with those churches. And we're going to keep helping them. Because I'm going to tell you something. All you got to deal with in this life, all you got to work with is sinners, folks. And if you can't learn to embrace the conflict and forgive and deal with problems and love people when they do dastardly things, you're not going to get nothing done for God. Embrace that conflict. Be willing to deal with these type of conflicts. And that's how God can use you greatly. Lastly, let me say this. We don't have to fight alone. We don't have to fight alone. The Bible says in Exodus, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In Nehemiah, the Bible says, in what place thereof ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort hither, ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And then in Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. One of the keys to life is not running from a fight, but running to the right fights with Jesus on your side. King David ran to fight Goliath. And we need to run to fight every day to do right. We need every day to fight to read the Word of God. Fight to pray and get strength. Fight every day to overcome. It is often the fight, the struggle that makes us who we are. It is the enemy that makes us stronger. I'm going to ask you this question. I'll be done. When you were a child, did you want your daddy to fight for you? Did you? How many of you wanted your daddy to fight for your family? You wanted him to go to work and earn a paycheck. That's fighting. You wanted him to pray and walk with God and go to church. That's fighting. Did you want your dad to fight for you? Did you want your mom to fight for you? Did you want your pastor to fight for you? Somebody say amen or something. I did. I needed that. I needed Brother Howes to fight for me. I was a lost college student on my way to hell. Somebody fought for my soul. Fought for my life to be changed. Fought for this place to be here. So I could come here and be victorious. Do you want your government to fight for you? Then you must fight for others. Christian leaders must embrace conflict. Do you think a Howes Anderson College was built without somebody embracing the conflict, embracing the struggle, embracing all the ridicule, all the persecution? No, places like this are built because somebody says, I'll stand up and fight. I'll embrace the conflict. Let's fight the good fight. Let's not quit. I told the young people on the night bus the other night, don't let the greatest days of your ministry be as when you were a Howes Anderson College student. Keep fighting, and you can be victorious for God. Thank you.